You are listening to.
Listening to.
You are listening to.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
BlackIsOnline.com.
Great!
Yeah.
What's going on, y'all? Thanks for tuning in to the Black Is Network. You are checking out another episode of the Black Is Break. I'm your man Chris, one half of the Brothers Layman. So in this episode, we wrap up our discussion of the Academy Awards and the whole Oscar So White hashtag. And we discuss how Chris Rock should handle the Academy Awards, boycotting the Oscars. Tash takes us into this discussion of a white man playing Michael Jackson. Gets a little loud at that point. We get into us wanting to see films past, I'd say, 1980. When we support films that are showcasing our history, how we feel about it, us giving different perspectives when it comes to those films, lack of support for our films in the global markets. And in this episode, you've got Casey, Tash, Malcolm, Shelby, Steve, Julius, and myself having this discussion. Make sure you're checking us out on the website, blackisonline.com. Keep shooting us those reviews on iTunes and Stitcher. Any place else you listen to us, TuneIn, SoundCloud, anywhere, just letting us know what you guys think of the show. You know, voicemail 323-455-4219, email kc@blackisonline.com, Twitter @blackisonline. We just love to hear your thoughts on the subject. We know the Oscars are coming up in a couple weeks, so let us know your thoughts, man. Are you going to watch it? What do you think we need to do to get our films represented in the Academy Awards? And in general, what do you think we need to do in order to support our films? We love to hear your thoughts, so get at us, let us know what you think. All right, let's get into it. Okay, I got a question. I was taking notes because there's gonna be a different stuff going on. Since we are still talking about the Oscars, since they're coming up, how should Chris Rock respond? How should he handle stuff?
I wanted to address this. I think he was just handed comedy gold.
I think so too.
Like, yeah. The fact he was just like, yes, thank you, because as a comedian, his sweet spot is race stuff,
mm-hmm.
And now the big controversy over the show that he's hosting. Is, you know, this too white.
Right. That he might be the only black face in the whole thing.
Like, thank you. So I just felt as if it was just the best opportunity for him. And I'm happy. And I'm happy to see. I'm really looking forward to see how he addresses it. Because you know he's
going to address it. I think he's going to do. I think the first little 5 minute. Look, I'll be honest. The Oscars are one of the only few award shows I do watch. Because I like to see who the winner is and their response. As a whole, it's boring.
Yeah, can we just say, like, since Debbie Allen not on it anymore, it's just not as fun to watch. Because Debbie Allen used to have it at least be entertaining. But I will say that I think it would be amazing if Chris Rock... Okay, I will say on Twitter, I did suggest that he boycott, but that's just me.
Why do you think he should boycott it?
I think if people are really, really concerned, the time I've seen in this country major change happen was when, like, black people start messing with people's money. And all I can think of is the Montgomery boycott, bus boycott. And I'm like, until people want to get on that level of participation and commitment to a cause, I really don't think anything's going to change. That's just my, like, being kind of cynical thing. But you want to respond to that?
Yeah, but boycotting the Oscars, you're not even going to make a dent in it.
Well, I mean, as the person who's been hired...
The dent you're going
to
make.
My thing is, as the person who's been hired to do this gig, if you said, actually... I don't want to participate because I don't agree.
People would watch to see what the replacement.
That's fine. Yeah, but what I'm saying is he's standing for something
live. He couldn't just drop out at the last minute because they're all prepared. He'd have to go into it and then all of a sudden you'd be like, you know what? I'm walking off.
Honestly,
that's
I feel
when
like,
it would affect. If he just jumped like a month ahead and like, you know what, I'm not doing it.
Because then they have time to shuffle.
But if
and
you screw
regroup,
it up while everybody's watching, then everybody's like, oh,
they
shit.
Could pivot and regroup. I feel like it makes a stronger point for Chris to do the it. Job mm-hmm. and make a statement every time he has an opportunity to be in front of the mic. Yeah. Like, continue to make this a conversation, because you, as a black man, a black actor, a black comedian, have the experience, you know, firsthand what this is like and what this feels like, and because you're in the industry.
Now, I will say, I was, yeah, that's, what are you doing? You can't, you better leave the moderator's mic alone. What's wrong with you, man? No, don't, no, take your mic, moderator. Take your mic. He out of pocket. He don't know what he's doing. I do want to say, before you go, because I don't want people to think, I was going to say, I had made that comment on Twitter, but I do agree with you all. But I would like to see him, like, Whoopi Goldberg would like, come out in different looks. I want him to, like, come out in different characters. Like, I want him to be the Black Panther character from Saturday Night Live and come out and just do different skits as militant black people. Like, I would think it would be amazing if he came out with, like, the new Black Panther party at the top of the show. Just, like...
Do the whole thing in blackface.
Yeah. You know
what? No, what he could do, actually, is all the films...
That would be brilliant if he came out in blackface.
All the films that we say that we think this year were actually good enough to at least get some recognition, I wouldn't mind to see him coming out in, like, some boxing trunks and something, and then come out in some NWA gear and do it. And then, like, his first 5 minutes, go in. Go all the way in, because everybody is expecting you to just be like, all right, say it. But say it. Like, come out with some glasses. Like, God damn, it's so damn white in this motherfucker. Like, shit, it's bright.
But if they're expecting that, is it going to have impact? It's the
no,
question.
But I mean, the first 5 minutes, you have to just address it because it's there.
It's the pink elephant.
After that, He needs to just throw little jabs every now and then just to bring it up.
Just wear a white prosthetic, and then everyone, when he comes down, he's just a white man. And he's like, I'm black.
But he did this before. He did this the last time he was on, and I was surprised. I mean, he was on. He's on again.
Yeah.
So like, for what? Like, at least the third, fourth time. And he said stuff
that has to do with I mean, you got Cheryl Boone Isaac, who's the Academy president, who has an initiative. She's trying to diversify. And I want to give her props because she really is trying to jump on it and make things happen. And then, you know, Reginald Hudlin is producing it. So it's I think that might also have something to do with it. Like, you have her and him on it, and they probably were like, we need to have a person of color, probably the only person who can really
at least for this year.
Right,
yeah.
Can I segue into, since we're talking about black folks being a little annoyed with Hollywood, can I segue into Michael Jackson? Joseph Fiennes playing Michael Jackson.
Oh my God! Now, is this a real thing?
No, it's real. Yeah. It's very real.
That's the most insulting thing I've ever heard in my entire
life. It's horrible.
No, how is that insulting?
Oh. Who's just insulting?
Wait, what?
Wait, are you in agreement with him playing?
He thinks it's okay.
What is wrong with you?
Listen,
Tash, no, don't even start with the bullshit.
Black is online.
Don't even start because that's in the same line.
Because we've argued.
I can't believe you're going to be okay with that.
Listen.
This film is going to go the same way as your girl playing Nina Simone in blackface.
Listen.
Go ahead.
Listen.
Go ahead. Go. Get your point out. Get your point out.
He justified that, too.
Throw it.
Let me tell you that.
Throw it out there.
There's no doubt.
Throw that crap.
I take her down so she can play her.
That Michael Jackson is a black man. So let's I'm acknowledging that.
Okay.
But I'm also of the mindset. I'm also of the mindset. You know what? If a white man looked like me, because the pictures I was seeing of Joseph Fiennes, I was like, damn. You know what? I was like, he does kind of resemble him. And I was just like,
okay. But what if you said earlier in your life, I don't ever want.
I don't. Every actor doesn't need to.
I'm sorry.
An actor doesn't need to An actor doesn't need to understand what it's like to be a psychotic murderer to play one. They don't need to understand what it's like to. Sometimes you. You bring
but
your
you're talking about
to
kind of psychology? We haven't read the
script. What if it's just a cameo? What if it's 2 minutes? What if there's no real character
development? He's in the film. He's like along with the gang.
What if there's no real character development?
We're talking about one of the largest.
There's not a mixed race person who could play that part. You're taking
a. Why does it have to be a mixed race person? How can you make it be a high yellow regular black person?
It could.
But why isn't it? Why isn't it speaking on my table? He should have said no.
I'm just not mad.
He should have said no.
He should have said no.
I'm just not mad.
Offered a job every week.
What if Joseph Fiennes can move like Chris Brown? What if we find out Joseph?
I don't care. There's still a black person that can move better than Joseph Fiennes and Chris Brown.
There are way too many black actors of every
shade. There's way too many. Black African American actors that have Brits playing MLK.
Hold on, wait a minute.
If we're gonna go that, there's way too many black actors that have rappers playing role. Like I'm just not.
You're talking about.
Listen,
no.
It's not like he's playing. He's playing off the wall, Michael Jackson. He's clearly playing bad and after.
Tash, but still,
we're talking about what black actor has been casted to play a white man.
That's the sequel.
He's stirring the pot.
Yeah, what? And for no reason.
Julius, am I stirring the pot, or do I really believe this?
Yes.
No, he does believe it.
I'm saying I don't have an issue.
I will say this. I'm not.
Why?
I will say this. Why? I will say this for your point.
Does he look like him?
I haven't seen it. And this is that other person.
Bring up the picture.
This is not related to that play, right? Is that the same movie?
Say it again?
Is this the same movie where that little supposed thing happened?
It's supposed to be with them Michael and Jackson, Elizabeth
Yeah, I will
Taylor
say this. I will say this as for Michael Jackson. I'm not surprised at all. Like, when he... Looking at Michael Jackson totally and everything he's gone through, I will say this, I'm not agreeing with it, but I am totally not surprised that the Michael Jackson, you know, post vitiligo, bleaching skin. I'm not surprised that they have a white man playing him. I'm not. I don't think it should happen. But I'm totally not surprised.
But the thing is, we're talking about one of the greatest black entertainment icons.
Even though there was a period where people weren't claiming him.
And to me, it's not even on the. I'm totally with Steve on this. It's on Joseph. It's his bad for accepting the role. He should have just said no.
Why? What if it's a dream of his to play? He was like,
that is bullshit.
I'm going to play Michael Jackson.
Never in his white life did he think
he
would get
the script
and
he was like, yo.
Now you're being controversial.
No.
What the?
Now you're being controversial.
What if he read the script and was like, yo, this is a hot ass role?
My
thing is, if he had any respect for Michael Jackson,
he wouldn't
do it because Michael doesn't
if
want
Michael
that.
If Michael had any respect for himself, he wouldn't have been in a position where someone like Joseph Fiennes could play him.
You out of pocket.
Am I preaching?
No, you're not. You out of pocket.
Michael was a self-hating black.
Okay.
You are so out of pocket right now.
You're about to leave the table.
You are so out of pocket right now.
Michael Jackson had a little double. Michael Jackson was not. I mean, he was a brother.
If you said Joe Fiennes was playing his child,
then that'd be fine.
And the problem is, you're saying this on the heels of Spike Lee's documentary that just came out about Michael.
Spike Lee has had several documentaries about Michael. They're all dope.
On point. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, but we'll discuss that. Because that Michael Jackson, that was pre-vitiligo, Michael Jackson. And we all...
Do we trust that he really looked at Michael Jackson differently.
Yes.
Do we truly trust that this motherfucker had vitiligo?
As somebody who grew up with a grandfather that had vitiligo, yes.
Okay. Okay. Well, what about
always in the back of my mind, brother, just want to look at him.
Okay, now bring it back.
Let's bring it back to Oscar.
seriously. So, okay, if he wanted to, if that's what he wanted, he wanted to look like Elizabeth Taylor, why not look at the psychology of a man, a black man,
right,
who wants to be white? So how can someone like Joe Fiennes, who's never understood that...
You preach it now.
No, listen, I wonder how preach it.
But if we... If,
it doesn't
if
matter.
The story was rich enough that we had pre-Michael Jackson and someone playing him, and then it's a character turn, and then we have another actor playing him, and we have a white actor playing him, then... That makes sense.
No.
Okay, okay.
Let me play Donald Trump when Donald Trump dies. And I'm black.
Right.
Okay, look. I think you should be able to play Donald Trump.
Michael Jackson can do it. I don't know. I'm about a white man. It makes him a black man. All right,
can we change the subject? Can we change the subject? Can we change the subject? All right, let me.
Dad, you're such a jerk. You know you just started the podcast.
All right, let me change the subject to this. All right.
Ooh, you so
this is something
right
with the Oscar, with the Oscars and all that.
You do that to Michael.
That people keep complaining.
You talk about the Oscars and then you talk about Michael. How do you get these words in the same sentence?
This is what his fans want to hear.
Okay, so I have a. I have a related question, okay. Not to that, but.
To
with the Oscars and what black people complain about.
Okay.
Is can we do, and I count these, I'm just saying them, they're period pieces. Can we do any period pieces before 1980 and will we support it? And that goes to the fact that we always get thrown out when this whole Oscar's so white, we always got to play the slave. We always got to play the maid, the butler, and they, you know, because when they asked him about the award, he was like, well, maybe I should put a slave in the movie. Then they got nominated. And I'm just like, why do we not want to support? Because I know there's been a lot of people, and I'm waiting to see this, The Birth of a Nation. Because I remember 12 Years a Slave. I don't want to see that movie.
Right.
I'm not going to see that movie.
And I'm going to make this point. We talked about this before some of you guys got here. I'm very annoyed at African-American people that have a problem seeing slave movies.
That's
not your damn history. Exactly. One, as if there's just a myriad of slave films that have come out so that
as
we've
if
just
there's
been
any shame in it.
Right, and as if you should be ashamed of your history.
It's not about shame. I can tell you exactly why I don't want to see another slave movie.
Please
for
tell
some years.
First of all, no, stop right there. Years. No, stop right there. How many slave movies have you seen?
I mean, I can't count
them. Exactly, because there's not that many.
No, that's not why I'm meaning I can't. It's not because it's not that many. It's because I really can't count them. But... But
ooh, you got my eyelids twitching.
I came in on the end of that conversation, and the biggest problem that I have with that conversation is that it is not okay, in my opinion, to pass our history on via film. Like, that's not the way we should be passing.
I don't agree with that.
No, like, I really feel like, in my opinion,
I 100% expect
people to disagree, because a lot of people look at film as a way to pass down history. But when you're saying, like, why would you, like, I don't think that we need a film to pass history. I learned a lot from my mother. Like, that history needs to be passed on in our families. So I don't think that.
But it's not.
We got a lot of broken families. Folks don't got moms or daddies. We need anything.
We should put it in a book.
So then.
I would just say that on the box. I would just say that on the bike.
So
put it in our music.
So then.
Put it in our music.
I don't think the solution is to rely on a movie.
Not rely on it, but you saying that you don't think
it contributes to it. It all contributes to it. Images are powerful. Would you not agree?
I think what you're trying to say is that it ghettoizes. It's ghettoizing storytelling. It does. It ghettoizes.
Like, when I go to the movies, I don't necessarily want. When it comes to
Love and Hip Hop.
I have never seen Love and Hip Hop. But I don't want to see that anymore.
What about The Help?
But what do you mean?
I don't want to see The Help anymore.
No, hold on. Give me that. I'd rather see 12 Years a Slave than The Help.
My mom My mom asked me to see the help. So if that went, hey, if she asked me to do something, I do it.
Don't be crossing lines. The help was written by a white woman. So to me, that ends up being one of those stories that people, they have a hard time accepting it, be it true or not, because the storyteller is not family, not one of the folk. Telling the folks.
Now listen,
story.
I said I saw the help, but I didn't say that I was a huge, like the problem I had with the help is I'm sick and tired of movies being the white person comes in and saves the black people.
Yeah, but just because I saw the movie
doesn't mean I'm like, the help
here's
is
my thing. Here's my thing. Let's black people, let's stop acting like it just was us that got through the civil rights movement. If we didn't have some white folks step up and assist, we wouldn't have gotten as far as we got.
But the story's never told properly.
You're right.
The story's always told from a white perspective.
It is always told from a white perspective, and that is where it needs to change.
And they're always the hero in the story. And the black man is never the hero in the story.
Now, see, I feel differently about that.
I didn't feel like that.
I didn't feel like that.
The hero of the story is the man who saved him. If he didn't, Brad Pitt, who comes in for 5 minutes.
See, I didn't feel like that.
What about the butler? I didn't
know. And my thing is, okay, fine. At the end of the day, the story wasn't about this white man Brad Pitt character. It was about Solomon. And my thing is, if a white man came and got him, which is probably the only way he was really going to get out,
right,
that has to be part of his story. So that's not what I focused on. I'm like, the white man got, hello, abolitionists were probably or all predominantly white.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Now, what I would like to see, now this is the thing. I do think there's something to be said. This, what's really important, I think you hit it, is this shame of black history. At the end of the day, we, thank you for this, we are descendants of American slaves, and that is our history, and I'm not ashamed of it. No one ever, you don't ever see Jews talking about, no, I don't ever want to see nothing about the Holocaust, and that was less than years.
That'd be fine if they're like, no, we need to,
I feel like in Jewish communities, like we need one every year to be on the screen so
but
that
they story
never forget. And it's different perspectives.
All that needs to happen is it's not about getting rid of the slave story, but tell the story from a different perspective. Tell it from a story of, like I say, it could be a piano man.
Well, Birth of a Nation is going to be a different perspective because this basically. Well, I'm just saying, like the way from what I read and what I hear about it. And first of all, if you know anything about Nat Turner, that's a different perspective. You talk about a black man slaughtering whitey. That's a lot of.
And I would go see that.
And how many folks saw Belle?
What?
My thing is,
what's crazy about it is, it's almost timing is everything because of the Oscar so white moment, you have Hollywood like, what do we do? And Nate Parker is like, I just wanted to create this film. It's not like he planned for it to happen at this time. And so as things happen, as time does, as what you reap, what you sow, I think it's brilliant that his movie came out at a time where we have all this controversy and the subject matter is what it is. Now, one of the things that we do, I think that Nate Parker is showing us, and that I think Ava and Array is showing us, is that we do have to take control of what our own product and be able to distribute our own product and be afraid to tell our stories and distribute and not care. One of the greatest interviews I've seen about this Oscar so white moment was Ice Cube on a British television show. They were talking about him not being nominated. He was like, we didn't go in to do this film to be so we can hope to be nominated. We did this film because this is our life and this is our people and this is an important story to be told. And at the end of the day, I'm not to shut the whole Oscar so white conversation off, but I mean, I think that's a really important point to make. We have to make our stories and we have to make we have to tell our stories because they have to be told regardless of if they never, ever give us a reward. We've been taught all of our lives that you achieve regardless of, you know, you got parents that say, I'm not giving you a dollar for getting the A. That's what you're supposed to do. And at the end of the day, if you're a filmmaker, if you're a storyteller, you tell your story regardless. Think about all the countless artists who have never been acknowledged. Think about Picasso, who nobody thought was even anything, and now after his death, he's the greatest artist that you. I mean, well, I don't say it, that's a matter of opinion, but his work is worth millions and millions of dollars. But so ultimately, we have to do the work because that's what we're passionate about, and that's what your gift is, and that's what you're here for. And it shouldn't be about an award ultimately.
But because people think that we can only, if we get the accolade of the Oscars or something like that, we've achieved something. But I think you can achieve something without having the accolade. Mm-hmm. You don't need to kind of go, let them do them and we do us. Mm-hmm. If we do us and we do it well, we'll get nominated.
And the truth of the matter is we haven't been doing us, and that's the problem.
Because Straight Out of Compton was not expected to make as much money as it did. And when it did, everyone was like, whoa, black people
make films.
Right, good and films.
Good films.
Not Tyler Perry
films,
good films.
That's when all of a sudden, well, now they recognize it.
But you can't even knock him because his films, regardless of what you think of the quality, he makes money.
They do make money. You know I mean? Understand that.
But when it's a good film. If we start talking about longevity, though, Spike Lee made the point. He said the year that Do the Right Thing came out, what movie won the Academy Award for Best Film? It was Driving Miss Daisy. But nobody's talking about Driving Miss Daisy, but we still talk about Do the Right Thing. So that's what matters.
So I think that's,
you create
that's
something.
It.
But see, the thing, even with that, but this is my point, though. The thing that I loved about Do the Right Thing when it came out is that it was about us then. Like, it was... I crave current stories. I crave current stories.
Agree.
I don't have any shame about my history. I am not. That's not even a part of the issue. I crave current stories, and I want to go to the movies and see good films about current
modern day.
But we don't support it. I can tell you on. I would ask people, "Did you see Dope?" Every black person I talked to was like, "I didn't see Dope." And I'm just thinking to myself, this is a great film. It's exactly what you're talking about layers of different characters. And people are like, I didn't see Dope. I didn't see Dope. I can't even tell you who didn't see Chirac. I mean, so my thing is
where's the problem then? The problem is publicity. There's a publicity.
No, it has to do with us as a community. And we have to, listen, one of the things that we have to admit marketing. In this circle of people is there is a group, listen. I was talking to a really well-known actress about, like, why doesn't the black community support certain films? And she was saying, and I think we have to come to terms with this, like, at the end of the day, there's a certain segment of our community where they will flock to see a Tyler Perry film because that's what they can relate to and that's what's interesting to them. And even if there's no depth, whatever surface that it is, it relates to them, right?
No, I don't think that's right. No, that's not it.
Hold on, let me finish. What I'm saying. But please, if you know me, you know I don't support no Tyler Perry. So
nobody here does.
Please. But what I'm saying is we have to recognize, let's just assume that this group is full of, like, these people in here are talented 10th people, right? That there's a certain, but everyone in here, I believe, has been to college and has a certain kind of degree, and we're a certain pedigree, and we're certain class, right?
I'm elite.
My question to you is, when we do have these films, because at the end of the day, our spending power is our power.
Yeah.
Right? So when you have, like, a Great Debaters, when you have Pride that comes out about this, like, the Black Swim Team, and all these movies that come out that are different, that may be current, that are not slave, that are not any of these things, is our community going out to support them? I remember the push they did for the Great Debaters. I felt like it was crazy. It was so much that my family was like, I guess we should go see this. And we went on Christmas Day. But I did. That should have, black people alone should have pushed Great Debaters into a stratosphere of a certain kind of money. The Straight Outta Compton, that success is not just black people. No, but that's a hip-hop generation success. Yeah, so you can't even say black people push Straight Outta Compton into that place. And at a certain point, we have to take ownership over how much responsibility do we have in pushing these films forward. Fruitvale Station, very current. How many black people push that to...
Well, I think you do have to go back. You have to go back to... You really do have to go back to, like we said before, the beginnings. The birth of it. And the birth of it is about the marketing. Marketing do not push those kind of films. They won't push it. Why? Because of money. They won't push it in Italy. They won't push it in Asia because people don't want to watch black films.
No, I'm talking about just black people.
Even though,
but not the other country. I'm talking about our market.
Look, black people do like advertising. We all understand advertising. If it's pushed, it will come. We will go and see Star Wars. All of us will see it because it's been pushed everywhere. The marketing pushes it. That's what it's based on.
I really don't believe that because I just don't believe that's necessary.
Also, it's to do with escapism, though, because some people might want to go out on a Friday night and just forget about the world. Some people might want to go out and be educated in a different way. So it's down to the individual, and it's down to their own personal preference, and really, it's down to their own sort of intellect and how much they want to grow that intellect.
I'm not saying I disagree with you. I'm responding to the fact that there was a statement put out here on the table about us having diversity of the films that we in our community. And we have diverse films out there. We don't support them.
I agree with Malcolm. We have diverse art house, smart film, and we don't support them. Steve is saying that we don't support them because they're not on our radar, because the marketing is not there. I think is somewhere in between. I think even when they are marketed like great debaters, great debaters probably didn't fare well compared to the publicity and advertising, that budget that they put into it. It should have been a lot stronger. It was Oprah and Denzel, yada, yada, yada. But I refuse to believe that black folks like Tyler Perry because it's what they can relate to. Yeah, like, stories are kind of universal, and black folks come from a rich storytelling tradition. A lot of times it's oral because, you know, at a period in time they couldn't, you know, write. But we know nuance, and we know even in our families, like, who can tell a good story. Like, who's funny, who has our attention, who is so, you know. And I think just as human beings, we recognize a good story when we hear it. And it's about exposure. And like, if you're eating fast food all the time, then you get used to it and it's convenient, it's quick. You're comfortable with it. You know what you're going to get.
That's a good example.
You know, but, you know, if you eat a really good, high quality burger, you'll be like, oh, this isn't McDonald's, but you can appreciate it, you know. And then the burger turns into steak and then veal. So I think it is about exposure, and then in that regard, you know, the marketing dollars could be behind it. But
it
marketing
does
is
matter,
expensive.
And I know, but I didn't know about, like, fruit. And I, granted, I'm not really immersed in social media and all that jazz, but, like, I really didn't know that dope was even coming. I found out about dope after it was already out. And I found out because I was just looking at pictures of, like, red carpet dresses, just because I like dresses. And I saw it, and I was like, what's this? I had no idea.
In LA, I felt like you couldn't drive without seeing a dope billboard.
Like, in England, I didn't know what dope is. I mean, I thought it was something you smoke, but I mean, no, seriously.
That's the thing. It's also a way to, you know, affirm something that's really cool.
I mean, it's unfortunate, but that was my truth with that movie, is that by the time I knew, I didn't find out about it until after it was out. I was like, when did it even come out?
But again, okay, let me just go back to, there are a lot of films. Look, some of these Best Picture films, people have not even heard of. But one, and it wasn't like they were like Brooklyn and Carol. It's not like Brooklyn and Carol had this amazing advertising.
Carol might not be nominated for Best Picture. No, it isn't Best Picture. No.
Okay, well, even Spotlight. It's not like those films had amazing advertising campaign. Are you kidding me? What happened is people supported, and the people who matter came up and said, and I don't care.
Oscars is not about that, though, is it?
Yeah, they didn't have big advertising budgets to us, to the public, to the masses. But in the trades, Carol, Brooklyn, Spotlight, every day they took out a big ad. So
okay,
every,
but in our trades, in the black community, in our weekly, in the Sentinel, I guarantee you, every time there's a black movie,
YBF and media takeout.
There is publicity. They definitely do publicity in those trades.
Yeah, well, I mean, no.
So my thing is, why don't we take responsibility responsibility for why we're not, why our stuff is not. We just started this conversation about, like, we need to have our own, we need to do our own and all this stuff. That's fine. But if you don't support your own, if you don't put money into your own, like, and you got to work for it. If you really want to see a diversity of black stories and whatnot, then you should be doing the work, too, to be like, what stories, what black, let me go follow the hot black director, the hot black film blog, whatever it is, the hot black Twitter account about film, so that I can go see this.
What proportion of cinema goers are black?
I can't tell you that. I don't know
this conversation is really starting to unpack that for me, because I know I opened the conversation with that mindset that we need to be more supportive of these projects that come out, especially those that are independent and distributed on a small scale. But in listening to you all have this conversation, I'm realizing how, one, the marketing is a huge part of it, because I'm thinking about Pariah. And what a great film I thought that was. I thought that was really good and solid. But I can't think of that many people that actually saw that film that even knew anything about it. You know, and I think for our people, perhaps the access to getting the information is just not there. The Tyler Perry film is well supported because it's easily accessible. You don't have to go.
But can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Why is it so accessible? What because do they do? What does
well, first of all, he had a base before he went to film. He did stage plays.
But even more than that. But even more than that.
So what you're just describing, what you're that's describing to Tyler Perry, he had a base. He continuously did his marketing through a lot of different mediums, didn't he?
Right.
He went through his church. He's got a fan base. I'm saying you could do the same way. We could do the same thing.
Yeah. What ends up happening, though, his distribution is so wide. So if I'm living in an urban center, I don't have to go to a different neighborhood to catch a Tyler Perry film. I can go right up the street and catch any Tyler Perry film, as where Chirac or ooh, Pariah
right now.
Or right. Dope.
It's
I have
Amazon,
to.
It's smaller. It's on a smaller scale.
Right.
But I'm much. Saying there are other mediums. You can go into Netflix. True. You can go on Amazon. True. There are other ways of actually now pushing a film.
This is true.
And like what we're not doing, we're not realizing. Let's attack that. And I want people in the industry to kind of really attack it a lot more. It's the same in England. We have exactly the same problem. If there's anything. Well, if the black face is on, the chance of it even getting on the cinema is very slim. They won't. If it doesn't hit. How does it affect white people? That's a question. How does it affect white people?
Yeah.
Then it's not being made. That's how it is in England.
And then the money portion, I was talking to an Academy member the other day, and one of the things they were saying, not that I agree with this statement, but he was talking about, you know, the markets. And China is the second biggest market behind America, right? China is not about that black culture.
China will not.
They're about whiteness.
Yes.
And really a lot about whiteness.
12 years
of
slave.
So if you're talking about studios creating pictures where they're going to sell globally, right? Because if you look at films now, the global box office is a critical part of their bottom line now. So if you talk about that, films with black people in them, they have to do very well domestically because we're the audience that's going to look at them and is going to push it forward.
Categories. That's a really good point.
What, say, America and England? And you're lucky when Italy won't buy films with a black lead in it.
South Africa.
I mean, in Star Wars, they diminished the image of Finn in the poster for the Asian market because they like, you know what I mean? So it's crazy. And what's crazy about that is that the studio allowed that, first of all, but. You know,
they want that money,
and it's all about money. That's it. It's about the coins. Drop the coins, I'll put you on the front cover.
I will add, though, when I think about the fact that Chinese culture, popular culture, doesn't particularly respond as a market to black film or black images, I think that would be a representation of what they've seen, how they've seen black images subjugated to second-class citizenship or not being is not as good. I think it would just be representative. It's like if we gave them great black images and white Americans even held up black film with esteem, not that we're looking for that, but if they did and if it was something like, yo, this is high art, this is quality, then they would want all the quality that we import from America because they still love our music.
So can I ask a question? Do you think that Chinese person could play Michael Jackson?
Actually,
we should end on that.
I do.
Yes, they could.
I write rhymes. I write checks.
Thank you for listening to another episode of The Black Is Break. We'd love to hear your thoughts on the subject. Hit us up. Let us know what you think. You can reach us on Facebook at Black Is Magazine, on Twitter at Black Is Online. You can hit us up via email at kc@blackisonline.com. Leave a message on the hotline, 323-455-4219. You can always check us out on our website, blackisonline.com. Thanks again.